for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
And
this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years of playing PlayStation and 10, 15 plus years in the games. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Oh man, what a week we are about to get into, Max. What a week. And that's just of, you know, news and gaming things and all that sort of stuff. Because we are in like faux E3 week, it seems. Whether it be the Xbox Showcase, the Summer Games Fest, with a surprise state of play. There's a lot happening, a lot going on this week. But that's something we're going to get to a little bit later. Max, yourself, how has your week been? What are you up to? How you been? How's the things?
I'm finally not sick anymore.
I think I'm in that space as well. Got a little bit of a cough left and it's shitting me, but it's not been horrible.
Big wins there. Other than that, my week's been pretty chill. I spent the latter half of my week waiting for a package that I wanted to arrive earlier than it did.
Mm-hmm.
But it arrived before the long weekend, which was good. It was supposed to arrive. I was hoping it was going to arrive Thursday. Spoilers for those playing at home, I ordered a Switch 2.
His experience momentarily.
I was hoping it was going to arrive on Thursday. It didn't. It didn't get posted until 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon from Sydney. And then it's like, it's going to arrive Friday. I'm like, cool, that makes sense. And then it landed in Avalon, which is about 30 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah, it's probably not going to arrive till Tuesday, eh? I'm like...
Well, seeing as today is Monday, it's public holiday here in Victoria.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, it's fucking 5 o'clock Friday morning. It's a 30-minute drive. It's coming today. Don't be fucking doing this shit to me. And then I had a bitch and a rant in our group chat. And then, like, literally the second I'd finished my bitch and rant, I got a text message saying, hey, your package will arrive today. And then I switched gear and went, I bet you it fucking arrives during school time and I miss it.
Mm.
And then they sent me another text message about an hour later saying, hey, it's going to arrive somewhere between 1:30 and 3:40. I'm like, yeah, motherfuckers, it's going to land at 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave to pick my daughter up at about 20 to 3 because they finish at 10 past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I bet you it fucking arrives just after I leave. Thankfully, it didn't. Winner. Got it all installed, ready to play. My wife was out Friday night, put my youngest to bed early, and me and Hadley, and by me and Hadley, I mean Hadley, played Mario Kart all night. Maybe I got to play maybe a minute of that until she went to bed, and then I got to actually play a little bit. She had a blast. I thought I had stick drift already. Turns out I just had tilt controls on, didn't realize. Whoops. But yeah, it's good fun. Mario Kart World Tour is phenomenal. Mm. Having seen a lot of videos this morning of various shortcuts on the races, I don't think I'm ever going to be very good at online play. I am good enough to beat my wife, which is all that matters. My child wins every once in a while. She's pretty good. all things considered. But she mainly just has a blast playing free mode and just driving around unlocking characters and different outfits by eating the foods and all that nonsense. But she's having a blast. I also picked up Pokemon, which I'm playing. I'm playing Pokemon Violet. It's fine. It at least works now, I guess. Mm. I'm confused by all the new Pokemon because I'm an old man now. I don't like them. I just stick to what I know. So I've got like a party filled with Kanto region Pokemon from Pokemon Red and Blue, because that's how I roll.
I'd be dead in the grave before I acknowledge anything past Gold and Silver.
I realistically just want to find where I can catch an Eevee, and I just want to make one of each of the evolutions, and I'll just have that as my party.
Well, especially now that there's like a lot more than, you know, back in our day. There's all your Umbreons and your other ones and your the other Eon and whatever.
So, but I haven't found them yet.
Mute in the chat says there's 600 Pokemon. Isn't there close to 1,000 now?
Yeah.
There's a fuck ton of them. Because I remember, so I have played most of them in my life.
There's 1,025.
Like, yeah, red, blue, yellow, gold, silver, and then I skipped all the Game Boy Advance, so I didn't have one. And then I didn't think I played anything until Black and White, and then I kind of played most things. And then I went back to, like, Heart, Gold, Soul, Silver, yeah. And I have long lost my love for Pokemon, I feel. Like, with it being the same thing, and I really, really wonder, like, how can they continue to release kind of a relatively unimpressive gameplay experience with the exact same, when it's built on the same bones that hasn't changed in God knows how long. You'd think they would know how to build a better game, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the chat, Amute says, try Arceus. I thought about that, and then I remembered I have to play Switch, so I didn't. It is good, from what I hear, yeah.
And the other title I've picked up, which I have yet to even touch, is Bravely Default. Fairy something. Fairies? It's the HD remake of 1 or 2.
Nice.
I tried to install all my old games, but I can't because of the new game card system. They're linked to my niece's console, who's been using my account for a little while.
Oh.
So I now have to go out there and visit them with my Switch so the two Switches can smooch and I can get all my games.
Oh, back. Do you have to, like, physically make them kiss?
Yeah. Because they're not account bound, they're console bound for some fucked reason.
Oh, well, I remember that being a problem with Animal Crossing. Because I remember everyone's like, oh, can I just, what if I break my Switch? It's like, too fucking bad. Your entire, everything you've spent hundreds of hours on for Animal Crossing are only relevant in this console. So get fucked if you break your console. Thankfully, hopefully, you don't break your console, but.
So once I go do that, I'll have access to Super Mario Maker 2, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9. Super Smash Brothers, which I'm keen for, because, you know, I'll absolutely decimate Hadley at that.
Yeah, I did. Look, so for those playing at home, there was a great story that Max did share with us in our little group chat. He goes, oh, I let Hadley win, and she was the sorest loser, so we rematched, and I pounded her face in.
No, she was the most atrocious winner.
Oh, sorry, my apologies, my atrocious winner.
So I had to put her in her place.
So what was she like? Explain to me how she was a bad winner.
Oh, she got up, she's dancing on the bed. I beat you, ha ha! And she's just laughing at. I'm just like, this can't stand. Went from 50cc to 150cc. Boom.
Is it still the same? Like 50 hundo, 150, 200? Like, is it 200 the max still?
No 200.
No 200.
Nah, it's 50 hundo, hundo 50.
That's ball bags.
Although if you look at the people making up those shortcut videos, they're clearly racing on what appears to be 250cc.
Maybe you unlock it later, like, as you... Maybe not.
Maybe. I mean, we have gold trophied all of the knockout tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hadley did all of them by herself. She got placed first in all of them.
Well done.
So that's cool. We've got a ton of characters still left to unlock. And we just keep unlocking cars, because apparently every time you collect like 100 coins, you get a new car. So every time I finish a race, it's like, you've unlocked a new car. You've unlocked a new outfit. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
I got 50 Peaches, 50 Marios. I unlocked Vampire Waluigi before. I'm like, ooh, that's my new cat.
Oh, Vampire Waluigi. Okay, that's pretty sweet. Yeah.
The console itself feels better.
I was going to say, yeah, how's the overall Switch 2 experience?
In handheld mode, it's way better because it actually, you know, fits a person's hand these days. Like, it's not horrible.
Because it looks like that looks like they've added more into like the grip behind the triggers.
Yeah, so that's just the button that pops out there, that initiates the magnetic pop. But it's not so much of an extra. Well, there is a little bit of an extra trigger feel to it, as opposed to just a button.
Yeah, because I did always hate the Joy-Cons for that reason. Saying that though, I did watch. What's his name? Jerry Rig Everything. It's one of those pull apart channels, and he just tried to break the fucking magnets, and he couldn't. He's go chunk, chunk, chunk. Nah. So apparently, like, it's the build quality is pretty fantastic. The screen is entirely plastic, though. You just like you can scratch it with like a set of keys. So don't put it free in a bag because it will scratch, or get a protector. In the chat, Mute mentions the bigger magnets as well. Also jumps in, fuel battery goes fast. In handheld for Mario, not even a full hour. Not even a full hour.
I can't speak to that. I played Pokemon on it for like 4 hours last night, off dock. But obviously that's just a standard Switch game. So.
Yeah, no, that's certainly intriguing. Like, knowing... But the ROG allies and the...
I've yet to play Mario Kart undocked.
Oh, okay. But yeah, when you think about like the ROG Allies or the Steam Decks or whatever, and like their batteries aren't brilliant because you're trying to like make more powerful, like powerful-ass games in handheld. Like, what do you expect, really? But yeah. Any other comments you'd like to chat about your Switch, man?
That's cool. I haven't really played much of it, too. Dive deep
into. Well, Hadley seems to be a big fan, and that's something.
Hadley, every time she goes to Spanish, she's like, "Dad, can I play? Can I play Mario Kart?" Like, yeah, excuse me, no worries.
Yeah, you're like happy to be like, yeah, sure,
whatever.
How's the boy? Is he wanting to get all up in it?
Oh, I have to move everything off my desk now. I can't leave controllers sitting on my desk because he'll just climb up on the desk and grab them. He'll just sit there. He stands up in this chair that I'm sitting in now, leans over the desk, grabs the PlayStation control, turns it on, and then stamps his feet and does a little happy dance, and then sits there pushing all the buttons.
Nice.
Oh, motherfucker. Get it.
Incredible.
You're too little.
No, he's too big now, because like when he was little, he wouldn't have to do that. Now it's like all these painful realizations that he's getting old.
Other than that, I've been playing more Elden Ring Nightreign. The game's great if you have a solid team. The game's ass if you don't. The amount of people I've had who have just died on day one, they're just like, ah, I'm going to dip. And they just quit. And you're like, motherfucker. And then you get to... You're like, if we had that third person, we would have beat the third day boss. Like, yeah. The third night boss. It would have been easy. The Libra boss can still suck a big one and fuck off. I seem to get bullshitted every time. So the gimmick for that boss is most of the time on day one, you will get cursed and he will send his merchant in. You can spend 15,000 souls and be uncursed. So you gain all, cursed is your 50% max health. So you can spend 15,000 souls, get healed, or you can fight him and kill him. And then the other gimmick is right before the boss fight, you get to speak to the traitor again and you can, possibly get a boon, but it will cause a detriment. It could buff the boss. One of them is like, I want to be level 15, which is the max level, and be like, okay, but every time you heal, you will lose a level. And you're like, oh, that's rough.
That is rough.
The worst is when I'm like a dex-based character and you're like, I would like a powerful armament. And it's like, okay, here is a purple shield. And you're like, motherfucker, I don't even use shields.
RNG's
like,
pitch.
And then it's like, oh, this will cost you whatever. Every boon has its price, whether it be buffing the boss, lowering the amount that you can heal, costing you a level. Anything. So it's a real dickhead boss. It's one of two I've got left to beat. I can't seem to find a decent team to get me through it. I've yet to party up with friends. None of my usual gamer buddies that play Elden Ring picked this up. So I'm still trying to. Yeah.
So I do have it installed. However, I'm yet to boot it up, knowing full well that I suck ass at it. And I would be solely reliant on playing it with yourself.
That's fine.
And there's still time to make that happen. We can still do that.
Yeah, for sure.
But outside of that, that's pretty much all all the things you've been playing this week.
That's it. That's all I've been playing.
Look, I'm in a similar boat, man. Like I've not been doing like all that much. But firstly, for those that are listening along, and to your credit, you've already made it through about 15 minutes. You may notice it's different in sound quality. My mixing board has finally given up, or I've given up on it. So I am using this Audio Technica boom arm mic thingy that sits on your fucking headset. So I'm sure I sound like butt cheeks compared to the incredible Audio Technica AT2020 that we normally use. So I'm currently on the hunt for a new mixing desk, and and this time, a digital interface, I guess. So I'm thinking of like the Audio Technica MX, UX, whatever the fuck it's called. There was the Yamaha ZG something, or even just like that Elgato Wave single knob doohickey. Trying to find like whatever it can be for a reasonable price, but this is fun. Like I get to move my arms, I get to move around. I'm all like Britney Spears up in this bitch, you know. It's like it's good. It's a good feel. But in terms of games that I have been playing, this week has been pretty quiet. I have spent more time with like Cash Cleaner Simulator, and I've really enjoyed going back to that. As I mentioned, everything that I mentioned last week, I still thoroughly enjoy about it. But the game that I think has probably spent the most bit of time on in my house, particularly this weekend, was WWE 2K25. Now, it's no surprise, my love and admiration for professional wrestling. However, this weekend was a little bit different. So it was Money in the Bank, which is a pay-per-view. So I had my son, because my son's weekend. And so we watched the show, had some friends over. It was blast. It was awesome. I actually invited you, Max, for the first time. And you're like, I don't want to come. I'm like, well, what the fuck do I invite you?
Well, that's not what happened.
That's not what happened at all.
Like, me and Hadley, like, still full-on blocked nose, and we don't want to get anyone else ill.
Understandable, right? And I appreciate that, as I'm still someone, you know, a little bit unwell. But so after watching the pay-per-view on Sunday, my son was like, can we play the game? Like, sure, no worries. So we finally make him in the game, because we're yet to have done it, which is cool. So he looks mental. Like in a true 8-year-old fashion, Max, so he has made himself probably the most like edgy ass looking character he probably could. but there's something fucking stuck in my throat and I just can't get it, and he's shitting me to tears. But James has really found a strength this weekend after watching Money in the Bank and then seeing what a ladder match can be. He's like, this is fucking cool. So we then had to make his own briefcase, which you can do in the game. And then he made his own championship belt. But then he also made a championship belt for myself and for Phoebe and for Craig. So that was a whole stack of fun. He's just been playing that. And then pretty consistently just running ladder matches all day. He did it all last night. He did it all most of today. He was just like having fun, making us all fight each other with AI, or making us all fight with him controlling himself in various things, like whether it be a fatal four-way, so four people just going to town, or tag teams, or any other random combination. I don't think he actively has picked a proper active working wrestler. It has only been using the custom wrestlers that we've made of ourselves. And I think, for whatever reason, that has tickled his fancy something fierce.
Yeah.
Because rather than talking about, oh, in the game, this happened, he's like, I beat you. Very similar to what Hadley, as you mentioned earlier, with Mario Kart. It's a lot of that, I beat you, daddy. I beat you. I'm the champion. I got the briefcase. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then as he's been like, what? I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I love the fact that my son is getting into wrestling. I really appreciate it. Obviously, it's a big part of my life. It's something I do a lot. So I am enjoying him getting into it. However, I'm in this weird space where I'm like, is he just jumping onto it because he likes wrestling, or is he jumping on it because he wants to connect with me? And both options are fine. But seeing him today spend yesterday and today spend so much time in the game, I'm like, I think he just has fun playing wrestling, which is really, really nice. Knowing that, you know, it's lovely to have our children experience something that we enjoy. I was discussing this with Phoebe the other day. There is something with millennials, which is a generation that we are a part of, that there's this common understanding that we are stuck in this forever state of arrested development, right? Where we never really grow up. We're still kind of kids, and we still connect to a lot of the things from our youth. Where back in our day, like whether our parents or our grandparents, we're like, no, you got to grow up at this time. You can't enjoy the things you did when you were a kid. And so therefore, the gap between a father and a child is like this canyon, right? This connective gap is impossible. But then over time, as we have, you know, blurred those lines between what is adult and what is child in terms of like things that we enjoy, it's allowed a great avenues for us to connect as parents with our kids. So like yourself, you know, playing with Hadley, and you know, she's getting to games, and even Ollie, right? Knowing games is important in the house, and knowing that you enjoy it and Hadley enjoys it. When he gets to break into that room and press the controller, he's like, oh, I'm doing what dad does, right? Because he goes to your desk in your space. And I see that with James as well. Like, he's paying attention, he's caring about like the games that we play together and the wrestling and stuff. It's been really, really cool. So it's been nice to really properly connect with him on something like that. But yeah, outside of that, really not much. Pretty quiet week. I did boot up Elder Scrolls Online today, and I played for about an hour as I was killing time before we went to Bounce, which is a trampoline place here. I do still really enjoy that game. Thanks to the team over at Power Up PR, I believe. Wait, yes. Yes, Power Up PR. I was kindly provided a code for essentially the year pass, the season pass. So there's a bunch of DLC, a bunch of expansions coming throughout the year. The next one is in about a week. It's called The Cult of the Worm. Which they did touch on in the showcase for Xbox. We'll talk about that in a moment. So I'm probably keen to jump back in on that as well. Spend some time in there. But that is all what is happening like this week. And now, granted, I did mention that DLC for The Elder Scrolls Online is part of the showcases that we're about to talk about. So let's get into that section. It is called Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, we are in June. It's that second, third week of June space. This has been the pretty much locked-in E3 window for as long as we can remember. Now, granted, since pre-COVID, E3, as it is, hasn't really been a thing. Instead, we get these moments of like showcases and your little online things. There's very rarely there's a big, you know, people filling in a hall, having this, the audience interaction with the screen up front, interviews, people being awkward on stage. And this week we did see one of those things with the Summer Games Fest, and then this morning with the Xbox Showcase, it appears to be another sort of digital setup. However, it did, contrary to how E3 used to run, which was everything up front, Sony at the back, this year, Sony kicked things off with the State of Play at the front. So let's get into that. Let's get into the State of Play. Now, Max, did you watch this live?
Watched this live, but I did miss the first 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fair.
I came in just as they did Silent Hill F, so I think I only missed one title.
Yeah, one or two, I think.
Yeah. So this is not in order, obviously. We have Astrobot is getting 5 new Vicious Void Galaxy levels coming on Wednesday, I believe, the 10th, so 11th for us, I think, at about midnight. So these are the speedrun levels that they've been adding. This will pop them to, I think they said 90 odd levels now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we're pushing hundo at this point with Astrobot, which is lovely.
Which is cool. Hadley will get right in on that, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, look,
I love those. I love those little challenge speedrun levels. Absolutely adore them. And I'm going to go back and get all the extra special bots. I think the new Ghost of Yotei.
That's the first one in this new set that they've announced, which is cool.
They also announced that we are getting another version of the Astrobot DualSense with a twist, apparently.
Yeah, the twist is the different eyes on the front, by the way. So in the version that I have, it's the solid eyes, like this. And then, I don't know, how am I going to make half moon? I don't, like that, I guess? I don't know. They're kind of like little half semicircle eyes. Like they're the joy face rather than like a stare face. Now, as my son loves the Astrobot game and controller, but sadly they've sold out really quickly, I'll endeavor to get him one of the new ones, so then we can still both have one. He'll love it. But I'm similar to yourself, so I watched this live as Mute in the chat jumps in and goes, yeah, I watched it with you, it was a fun time. I do like these Seder plays because they, you know, happen around, you know, 7 or so in the morning, which is not so bad. And let me just fix my camera, I feel like I'm all not centered. There we go. Dear God, I'm coughing up all the joint. But yeah, look, so these are all in alphabetical order, so kicking off with Astrobot, very happy. I need to go back and finish those levels, whether it be the speed levels or the challenge levels. Anything from that new post-release set. Did the first one, that was great. And then there's been one more since, and then whatever coming here. Always keen for more Astrobot, but I really, knowing that it's intentionally ramped up the difficulty, I have to be ready to go and play it, because like I'm gonna get frustrated, I'm gonna get shitty, and I'm gonna crack it. So thankfully,
none of them have been harder than the final challenge level though in the base game.
I would agree with that, but the difference here is because it's the speed runs or the challenge runs. Even if you make it 90% of the way, you got to go back to the start. Like that is where the hurdle is for me, and that's where the frustration builds. Especially if I find a bottleneck or something in that level that kind of shits me to tears. But once again, going in alphabetical order, next up was Baby Steps. So this was a new gameplay trailer. We've seen this in previous showcases or previous state of plays. It is now launching on September 8th. So what I learned today, because as I was listening to another podcast, the team behind this was the guy that made that side physics long jumpy sort of game, as well as that one where you're in the cauldron and you've got to climb up with the sledgehammer. So it is that weird bullshit kind of game. The art design is very interesting. It kind of looks like the guy who's butt ass naked in the beginning of Alan Wake 2, which is another game I need to go back to, by the way. That is a fun like look. And it is that physics walking. So it is a literal walking simulator. Am I going to rush out to play it? Probably not. If it becomes available to me, yeah, I'll check it out. It might be dumb. But what about yourself, Max? Did Baby Steps do it for you?
Not my jam.
Not even a little bit, just clear as day? Like, nah.
No. I've played that. I own, I think it's over the something. I'm pretty sure I own it on Steam, the Cauldron Jackhammer game.
It's like Don't Hold Back or Don't Something Something or whatever. I've never played it. It looked frustrating as all fuck. I'm not going to play it.
That's fair enough. I don't
blame. I meant that one. Baby Steps I'm open to because it looks silly and I don't mind a dumb physics game, but I'll see how we go on. But next though, Max, might be
it's called Getting Over It.
With Thank Bennett you, Getting Over It. I don't know where Don't come from, mate. It's a completely different thing. Getting Over It.
Getting Over It. Next up, we had Bloodstained The Scarlet Engagement, which is a 2.5D side-scrolling action game similar to like the old school Metroidvanias. It showed off two heroes, Leo and Alex, and this game is coming in 2026.
This is straight up old school Castlevania. Like, I'm watching this, my immediate thought was, this is Castlevania. Are they bringing new Castlevania back? And then the answer is no. So the only team that could actively, from my understanding, is the only team that kind of has the freedom quote unquote, to completely rip off Castlevania is the team behind Bloodstained. A couple of years ago, they did Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which even the name itself is an homage to Symphony of the Night. So they're clearly running with that. I believe the one of the creators on this is like the old producer of the Castlevania games. So hence why probably no one is really, you know, cracking the shits about it. I haven't played the other Bloodstained games. They did look interesting. It looked like I'd probably have some interest in them, but they did just kind of float past me, and I kind of wish I did give it a bell. And it does even have a whip, as Mute in the chat does confirm. Next up was a game. It was Cairn or Cairn, if you're Australian. Cairn or Cairns.
Cairn.
I think it's Cairn because it is spelled like Cairns, as in the city in the northern northern parts.
Yeah, you can.
It's coming to PS5 on November 5th, day before my birthday. It's essentially extreme mountain climbing, and there is a demo available now. So I might go fuck with the demo for a little bit, but it should be fun. That's all I remember is the climbing of the side of the thing. That's it. Is it a max game?
No, not at all.
Is this a max game?
Maybe. So next up we have Digimon Story Time Stranger. We've got a new trailer coming October 3rd. I think this is a follow-on from like the Cyber Detective, or whatever the one is that's available at the moment.
But it's visuals. I think it's different to Cyber Sleuth. I think it's connected to like this. From memory, there's like two kind of simultaneously running Digimon series. There's like Digimon World and then Digimon Cyber Sleuth, I think. I don't know. To me, Digimon always seemed like a rip-off of Pokemon, and I was like, boop. But I did play one of their games on PlayStation 1 back in the day, and I fucking loved it. So that may have been World. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was World.
So Mute in the chat does confirm this is a sequel to Cyber Sleuth. Then my question, I feel like in the last state of play, or last showcase, there was also a Digimon game shown. Is that not... that
I think it's,
is that word, another one?
This was a new trailer. This wasn't this. Yeah, no, maybe.
I don't recall. You know why? Because I don't know. It's Digimon.
I think you're wrong.
I'm happy to be wrong. New trailer, Time Traveler.
Yep.
So it is. New game. Time Traveler is the new game. I'm very confused. But you know what I'm not confused about, Max? It's this next one. Everybody's Golf Hotshots. They've combined the Japanese name and the Western name to smash it into one awesome golf game. I love Miss Me Everybody's Golf. So knowing that this is coming to PS5 on September 5th. Woohoo! Everybody's Golf is fantastic. It's really cool party, like a party game for golfing. On top of that, it's fun, it's easy, it's charming. Clap hands are incredible. minor changes here. Oh, thank you, Max. Name of the studio, by the way. You're like, I know, dickhead. what intrigues me the most about this is a long-known and long-established PlayStation IP, originally handled by XDev and Studio Japan, but since their closure into what became Team Asobi. This alongside like Loco Roco, Patapon, and those sort of experiences, it has kind of been left in the dark for a long time. However, PlayStation have made the decision to essentially outsource, some of these IPs, and it looks as if that the publisher, I'm not sure of the I think the developer is still Claphands, however the publisher for this is Bandai Namco, which is intriguing.
Explains the Pac-Man.
It does explain why Pac-Man is joining the roster as a pre-order character, if you want to play Pac-Man Golf, I guess. But the game that is most intriguing, at least for you, would be this next one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to mute myself so I can cough, and I'm going to give you a moment to have some joy with this next title.
Ah, cool. Next up, we had Final Fantasy Tactics, The Evil East Chronicles. This is coming out September 30th of this year. It's launching with enhanced version, adds fully voiced dialogue, optimized and updated UI, graphical improvements, and all the other fun stuff. So this is the The remaster, essentially, of the PlayStation 1 Classic, not to be confused with the Game Boy Advance, Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced games, which are also set in Ivalice. I'm super keen for this. I love Final Fantasy Tactics games. Super keen.
So, like, for yourself, though, would you be playing it in this new version, or would you be, like, going into the old classic, click the button? Because my understanding is that there is some benefits here, like, as you mentioned, upgrade, I don't know whether you covered it, but, oh, the voice dialogue. So, that on top of that, they're also using the the localization from the PSP port, because apparently the PS1 localization was crap. So I think there's that advantage, and yeah, with there being sort of new levels, new dialogue, new map areas, like, it seems to be a pretty increased experience, especially for something that we saw God knows how many years ago. Like, when I was living at my old house, and we used to do this shit in person, when there was those NVIDIA leaks, like, this was on that list.
It still was Final Fantasy IX, and we still haven't heard Hyde Noir here.
That's also true, but I didn't want to say it out loud because it makes Patch sad.
Yeah, I don't care. what did I say we were going to get? Tactics on say to play Final Fantasy IX at Summer Games Fest, and then Summer Games Fest came and went.
Hey, on a plus side though, Final Fantasy is finally coming to Xbox, I suppose.
Final Fantasy 16 is out now on Xbox.
Ooh,
they just dropped that bad boy.
But look, we're going to go from one Max game to very likely another Max game. There was a small bit of moment for Ghost of Yote. However, it was more just letting everyone know that it is going to get its own state of play next month. As I forget the date of it. I didn't even have it written down. But it is, I believe it's... Oh, shit, what is the date for Ghost of Yote?
I don't know.
Let's have a look. Ghost...
While you're doing that, I'll do the next one.
...of Yote. 2nd of October. It was a little bit away, but once again, aligning with their usual state of play, drop it out later.
Next up, we had Hiragami, an origami inspired 3D action platformer coming to PS5 September 3rd.
What intrigued me was the different animals you can origami into. There's like a gorilla and like a frog, and like that part looks really fun, and I don't mind these more artistically driven titles. Like, I'm not against it. I don't hate it. Am I going to rush out to play it? Probably not. But it's cool nonetheless. It's one of those little... I would consider this a filler game. Not to dismiss it in any way, but I mean that in terms of what the full suite of the state of play has to offer. It's kind of there to puff it up a little bit.
You going to rush out and play the next title?
No. Next was 007 First Light. This is out of IO Interactive, the team behind Hitman. In that same breath, while announcing 007 First Light, we did see a big trailer for it. They did also confirm that Mads Mikkelsen's character out of Casino Royale, which is the... I almost said Craig David, which would be a very interesting 007. The Daniel Craig 007, which was Casino Royale. He is a target for... Agent 47 in Hitman World of Assassination, and I believe it's a free download and it's available now.
That was announced in Summer Games Fest, not this
trailer. I don't fucking care. It's all merged together. It's one weekend. But we'll talk about it right now because it's 007. It's related. But look, as someone that is not really a big James Bond fan, I've seen... I think I saw... What was the one? Skyfall? I saw that in the cinema, and that was awesome. Skyfall was a really cool movie for, like, in the cinema experience. And I remember myself and Millie, my ex-wife, like, I do remember us buying the big Blu-ray box set of James Bond with full intention of, like, watching them all, and we just never did. But even then, I would probably only really watch, like, Pierce Brosnan onward. Because, like, they're the one... I remember playing, like, Tomorrow Never Dies on PS1, and Day's Not Enough. Is that what it says? Day's Not Enough? I don't know. Whatever. But, are you going to play... Are you a 007, man? Outside of GoldenEye?
Oh, no, probably not outside of GoldenEye. Love me some GoldenEye, though.
Oh, who doesn't?
next up we have... I think it was Lumines Arise.
Luminous. It's pronounced the Luminous.
Luminous Arise puzzle game coming later this year to PSVR2.
So this is the same team behind Tetris Effect, which was objectively fantastic. Luminous is a long a long running series. It's been around for a while. Really cool sort of puzzle game. This opened the show, and immediately, now I'm not the only person to have commented on this, by the way. Watching it, I'm like, oh, this is this just a cool intro? Because I'm seeing all the sacred symbols. I'm seeing like the X's and the squares and the circles, and then it became Luminous, and I wouldn't have guessed that at all. Speaking of games I wouldn't have guessed, though, the big final drop at the end was a second-party exclusive, PlayStation Studios at the front, followed up by Arc System Works. It is Marvel Token? Fighting Souls. It is essentially, in a lot of ways, a very distant spiritual successor to the Marvel Capcom fighting games. It feels very similar to that, but when it comes to Arc, like Arc make Ripper fighting games. Not my personal interest in terms of the fighting games I would like to play. Like, for me, it is Tekken. Tekken is my shit. And saying that, Street Fighter 6 did win me over. But for most people, I think most people that are real big fans of the fighting game experience, this does have a special place in their heart. The thing that I really enjoyed about this trailer was how it seems a directive from... Sorry about that. Both PlayStation and Marvel were essentially, no, give us your version. Give us Arc System Works' version of these characters. So it is very Japanese-inspired. An example is like Iron Man kind of looks like a Gundam, which I think is very cool. I quite like when they sort of take that creative freedom, a little bit of liberty with those choices. On the back of that, though, just before this, they did also announce Project Defiant, which is a PlayStation official wireless fight stick. I have always wanted a fight stick.
It can be wired.
Oh, fantastic.
You can wire it to a PC.
Well, it's a wireless, but it can also be wired, because for those that are big fans of the fighting games, they want that limited latency, they would likely want it to be wired. As I said, as someone that's always wanted a fight stick, mostly for the novelty, it's the same novelty that makes me always want a driving wheel, but I never buy one because I know I don't play enough races to make it worth the purchase. Same as the fight stick, I would love it because I love the design of it. It is that, you know, it's a very sleek white and clear and black, and everything that matches within the PS5 design.
Milieu.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Like, yeah, whatever the collective design decisions are, or the I can't think of the right word. We'll go with whatever the word you would. Yeah, it looks great. I'd be keen to fuck with it. But what about yourself, Max? You aren't a big fighting game fan, but you have moments.
When I saw this, I thought it was Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm like, oh, geez, they've given it to someone else. They haven't. It's just a different game.
Mm.
It's like they tried to one up it by being like, we're not doing 3-man fights, we're doing 4-man fights. I'm like, three's too many already.
Yeah, look, it did seem like a whole lot of shit on the screen at once, especially because you've got what were some of the characters like Kamala Khan, Iron Man, Cap, Ghost Rider, Doc Doom, Spoods.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there was about six. No, it was eight because it was 4-on-4. Who else was there? I don't know, two other ones. Oh, Storm. That's right, because there was some X-Men's up in that bitch. Yeah, so Storm was in there as well. And I think that was it. But either way, I'd be keen to check it out. Mostly it's the PlayStation exclusive, which does help. Certainly adds to my interest. Speaking of games that are totally my interest, though.
Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater got some new gameplay footage. It is still coming out August 28th.
Yeah. I just
hope they left in the Easter egg for the final boss.
Which is?
Have you played number 3?
Yeah, but not in a very, very long time. Not since PS2.
Okay, so you know how you're having like a snipe off with fucking old man, what's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know if you just wait, he'll die from old age.
Oh yeah, because you just change the internal clock, you'll just die. I forgot all about that. Oh my god.
Just fucking wait. You just win.
I might do that. That's pretty sweet. but look, the issue that I have here is I was keen when they first showed this and first announced this. I have now seen it at every showcase, at every state of play, and almost every digital fucking conference possible, except for the Xbox showcase. And I don't think it was at the Summer Games Fest this year. But it's fucking everywhere. August 28th, cannot come sooner, just so that way more time in these state of plays are allocated to somebody else. Still looks great. Still want to play.
It's coming real close to being on the level of Death Stranding.
A little bit, and there's. We mean one or two?
Both.
Okay,
at this
cool.
point, it's both.
yeah. There was a whole Death Stranding 2 thingy. I haven't watched. I'm not going to watch because I'm just waiting till I can play the fucking game, and it's right around the corner. Hopefully, we get access soon. Spoilers. Spoilers. I really want to play it real fucking bad. so hopefully we hear something soon. Because we know it went gold a couple weeks ago. You know, obviously the big marketing reel's going on. It's set in Australia. I want me some Australia. Like, I'm not going to watch what was presented today. As I said, purely for the la-la-la, can't see, can't hear. I just want to play it. Yep. Speaking of fighting games, though, if we go back off from Marvel Tokon, this one was intriguing to me. Mostly because I didn't think I'd care. And I don't. But I like the idea of it nonetheless. The Mortal Kombat Collection. I'm glad they didn't call it the Mortal Kombat Complete Collection, because that would have been a whole lot of K's. It would have been very confronting.
It's also not the Complete Collection, because they're missing out a fuckload of games.
Oh, like all the newer ones, obviously, but this is like more of the Classic Collection. I'm glad they didn't call it the Mortal Kombat Classic Collection, because that still would have had the 3Ks, being a very different experience. But these are some of the games that have been announced for it. There's Mortal Kombat 1992, but of course, you don't just get one version. You get the arcade, the SNES, the Genesis, Game Boy, and Game Gear. I'm gonna be here forever. Fuck it, there's a lot of Mortal Kombat games on it, but then I'm sure it's missing some. It's Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, Ultimate 3, 4, Advance, Deadly Alliance, Torment Edition, and then some question marks. Because apparently there are more to come.
Yeah.
It would be intriguing to play a Mortal Kombat, or, you know, whether it be the Game Gear or the Game Boy version on a 4K screen, because it would look like utter bumholes. And there's only so much that an up-res can do, like, if you're being completely honest.
I'll tell you what it's missing that I really wish was on there.
Yes.
So far. Charlie Monk. Back on PS2.
Oh, the PS2 ones. Yeah.
Armageddon. I would like to have seen...
Well, because it appears that none of these are essentially, yeah, past early 2000s. And even then, the ones you're listing, were they before or after 2003?
They're all after Deadly Alliance. So Charlie Monk's was 2005. Okay. Armageddon was 2006. I would love to have seen them, like, go on that sidebar and do Mortal Kombat Mythologies and do Sub-Zero.
Mm.
Where you play as just Sub-Zero. That was cool.
But possibly similar to the Metal Gear Solid Collection, or Master Collection, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
They did just do a very particular set. It wouldn't surprise me if we then get a second collection if this does well, which I imagine it would do reasonably fine, because people that like Mortal Kombat are certainly big fans of Mortal Kombat. It would make sense to release a second. Because then, obviously, there's Mortal Kombat 1, which is probably more recent. Then there was... I remember playing Mortal Kombat... What was the one that was originally refused classification on PS3? Was it 10?
10.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I imported from another country and got a big old warning from customs.
Oh, wait, do I do this? See, that's funny. Because it's funny that you did that. Because I imported Manhunt, right? And Manhunt 2, which were both canned. And I didn't get shit. So... Maybe they didn't know.
Next up, we had Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, releasing July 31st on PlayStation 5 and PS4.
Ninja Gaiden's get a whole lot of love right now, and I am struggling to care. Like, no fault to Ninja Gaiden. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't really play
Ninja
it.
Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming out.
What's that?
It's because Ninja Gaiden 4 is coming out.
Oh, yeah, it is too, eh? There you go. One game that did surprise me when I saw it, I'm like, this looks a whole lot like this game. And sure enough, it fucking was. Next up is Nioh 3. It has been announced that it's coming in early 2026. There's a demo available now. Now, I really quite liked Nioh 1. I enjoyed Nioh 2 for like the 5 to 6 hours that I played of it until I got really frustrated and stopped playing because I am shitty at those games. However, there's a whole string of things that Koei Tecmo add to the Nioh experience that I like better in some ways to Soulsborne's. What about yourself, Max? Because this...
I've played the demo.
Oh, shit. Okay, fucking breaking news. Let's go.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it. I played the demo. I played it for like 10 minutes. I didn't really get too far into it. I got sidetracked after a little while. So the one thing that I like above about these games over the Souls series is the ability to key pulse. The key pulse mechanic in this game is fantastic.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the image that you put in our group chat. It is Bella Ramsey as MODOK. The internet is being so mean to Bella Ramsey's face, by the way. Saying that, though, neither you or I finished Last of Us. So,
someone started it, really.
That's so bizarre.
I'm like halfway through episode one. I didn't finish it.
Why do you think that is? Like, for the first one, we were so keen.
Well,
the early access did play a role, but...
Now, the early access played a role, and it was the fact that I could watch multiple episodes at once, not this one-a-week bullshit. Yeah, I really hate the one-a-week bullshit system. Streaming has ruined me. I do not like waiting for episodes these days.
I like
when Netflix was like, hey, guess what? Stranger Things is coming out this year. Hey, guess what's in 3 parts? I'm like, fuck off. Just release it at the end then.
Yeah. See, I love the tradition that is every Monday we watch this. I was talking about this recently with Phoebe.
But you clearly don't, because you didn't.
No, because I love the idea of it, right? I remember fucking Game of Thrones was so much fun. Like, watching it every week, chatting, because this was back in the day when I worked at Dan Murphy's with Josh. So we would talk about Game of Thrones every Monday, because we always had shifts on Monday. It was awesome. Or Tuesday, whatever fucking day it aired.
It's because you walked in and you saw that she had rolled credits on the first episode, and you're like, fuck it, I'm not...
Absolutely. I was like, fuck this shit. Like, you watch the episode without me? Nah, done. Last of Us is ruined for me now. fuck, I'm the worst. But yeah, like, So, I like the idea, but because, like, watching it all in one stint makes me want to die, because then it'll all merge into one thing and I won't remember all the parts. But Nioh 3 should be intriguing. I'll check out the demo and be like, oh, this looks cool, and then hate it and then not watch it.
Yeah, I'll so the big thing that seems to have
changed... Oh, yeah, you played the demo.
They've got a they now have the way of the samurai and the way of the ninja, so you can push a button and become a ninja. You can go ninja mode, which
okay
ruins the ability to keep pulse and get all your stamina back.
Oh,
which is fucking atrocious, because it's the best part of that game.
It's interesting how, like, since essentially Ghost of Tsushima in a lot of ways really kind of changed the direction of any Japanese inspired like action game. Like, everyone's like, you gotta be ninja and you gotta be samurai. Like, no one can just be one anymore.
It's because you have to get both both fan bases on board. It's like, we can't just have the samurais, we also need the ninja people.
Look, aren't all you weebs just fans of fucking katanas? That's all I ever see. Ninjas don't use katanas, do they?
Yeah.
Well, then why the fuck pan it to both of them? Just be like, there's fucking swords in this game, you weeb, and they get all excited.
I don't know. Samurais are honorable, and some people don't like that.
You tell that to all the neckbeards.
They're not honorable. They're gross. Yeah, they'll fucking hand signs and ninjutsu.
And smoke bombs and shit. I don't know.
Smoke bombs. Fucking throwing stars.
Next! A game that we hadn't seen since essentially the first major showcase for the PS5, Pragmata, coming out of Capcom. This was a new gameplay trailer. They did do a sort of tongue-in-cheek, hey, because it was meant to come out in 2022, and then it's been progressively pushed, and now it is sitting... Actually, kind of went quiet for a while. but it is now coming out in 2026. We get to see a little bit more of the world. Like, originally, the trailer was kind of trippy and interesting, like the first trailer. But now we're getting to see a bit more. There is this little AI robot character, this little girl. And my presumption is that she's kind of like your escort, your buddy. My understanding is that you can kind of either control one or both, depending on the scenario within the experience. And you're just kind of a dude in a astronaut looking suit. Mutant the Chat reminds me of Megan. I would agree with that. That's kind of the energy that I got from it. The game looked really, really cool. The hair physics was weird. As in most games, hair physics is like the thing that is the shittest. Not immediately within my field of interest. By yourself, Max.
I am giving Capcom the benefit of the doubt because they have released nothing but fucking bangers for like the last 5 years.
That is true, and that's not even touching upon what we fucking saw at the Summer Games Fest, by the way.
Except for maybe Exo Primal, that was a bit... As that was pointed out to me that Capcom actually did that, and I completely forgot about it.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, Exo Primal was a bit butts. But like, in terms of their single-player driven experiences, since Resident Evil 2 Remake, since Resident Evil 7, it's been brilliant.
Since Monster Hunter has been fucking
brilliant. Well, RE7 was before Monster Hunter World, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so. Because I remember playing RE7 at like one of the first things that I did in games media at an EB Expo. Drum roll.
You're correct. 7 came out a year before.
Yes! So from 7 onward, they've been amazing.
Yeah, from 7 onward, it's been amazing. Next up, you already spoiled this Project Defiant Flight Stick. This new controller allows wireless play through PlayStation Link or can
which is that which is their lossless wireless connection. That's the same thing they use with the Portal and the earbuds and the Pulse headset.
Or wired connection on PS5 or PC will launch next year. Next up was Romeo is Dead coming to PlayStation 5.
Romeo is a dead man.
Yeah, correct.
There's reasoning for that because I thought that too. Like, oh, is he dead? Like, no. Apparently, dead man is a moniker.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a gameplay trailer. This one I didn't watch.
So
if you did, please feel free.
I'm trying to remember. It was early on. It's from Grasshopper Manufacture. I wrote that down, and that was about it. I don't really remember, but it looked interesting nonetheless. So I do apologize, I'm just going to kind of have to push through it because I don't remember, because it was a couple days ago. It's late already on a Sunday night. Next up was Sea of Remnants. It is coming 2026. There was a gameplay trailer, and as Max put in here in an editorial, I cannot believe it's not Sea of Thieves. That was my immediate thought. It did look pretty good.
I honestly thought it was a Sea of Thieves expansion, and I'm like, hang on, we're watching the PlayStation showcase. It's fucking weird. Even though it's on PlayStation now, I'm like, why would they announce an expansion or a new season, and then it's like, ha, it's not this. And I'm like, ah, got me.
Yeah, like, Pirates are having another go around again. We we mentioned, was it last week, there was that Pirate VR game that's out now. Pretty interesting. Skull and Bones finally dropped a little while ago. Next.
Silent Hill F. This is where I came in halfway through this trailer. It's coming September 25th. It has a new trailer. It's still Silent Hill.
Yeah. So apparently there's like some of the decisions within this title. Like what the attitude that they've sort of had was beauty in horror. And I think you can sort of see that within the world that they've shown, right? Like it is very much Silent Hill. It does look to be a bit more action-heavy than previous years. Now, granted, as someone that doesn't really have an emotional connection or an affinity to that Japanese design or even Japanese culture, per se, I am keen to check it out. I'm keen to play it because I love me a Silent Hill game. However,
I will play it.
Look... Ghost of Tsushima had the same trouble. Like, I really enjoyed playing Ghost of Tsushima, but I couldn't keep playing because I couldn't give a fuck about the world. I simply couldn't. Like,
the world was the best part of that game.
Which is concerning, right? Like, for me, the fact that I couldn't care the story or the characters. Like, what's Jin Sakai up to? Couldn't tell you. Don't care. But, like traversing that world and like, you know, the wind and the foxes.
You should give Legends a go because it's got like almost no story component. It's just gameplay.
Yeah, but I've played with other people.
You can play with me and Padge. Padge wants to do it.
Oh, okay. Maybe, yeah. Why not? I like, yeah, sure. We'll add it to the list of all the other games that we were like, yeah, let's play together. And we never did. Next up was Sword of the Sea. It is coming August 19th, and it is a sword surfing adventure. So this is from the same team, or at least some of the team from Journey, or what was this year, that game company. It's not them, obviously. Looks cool. I remember seeing this at a recent thing as well. It does seem to evoke very similar feelings.
Giant Squid.
Thank you, Giant Squid. It does seem to evoke very similar feelings to Journey in a lot of ways. So I will likely play it because it's... Journey was fantastic.
Oh, no. Fuck.
What are you doing?
It doesn't matter now. Fucking stupid thing. Next up. Giant Squid didn't do Journey. They did something else.
Yeah, no, that game company was, did Journey.
Next up, we have Thief VR Legacy of Shadow coming later this year. The Thief franchise is reimagined for PlayStation VR. Thief VR Legacy of Shadow. I adore the Thief series.
Mm-hmm.
Being in VR, I think it's really, really, and I would love to play it.
Yeah, it looked great. And like being the one of the two VR supported titles, hell yeah. Like it looked kind of all kind of fun, sneaky, which is interesting. And finally, at the state of play, we did get Tides of Tomorrow. Couldn't tell you what the fuck it was, but apparently it is coming February 24th, 2026.
It's by the guys who did Road 96.
Which I have not played. Let's see. Tides of Tomorrow.
Tides of Tomorrow challenges.
Oh, this one!
Troubled ocean planet of Alnid, as well as the choices made by your friends and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looked interesting enough. I'm not going
to
play it.
According to Steam, it is planned to release on the 24th of February next year.
Yeah.
Have fun with that, launching right before Resident Evil.
Spoilers for Resident Evil's coming up. But there, that is everything that happened as part of the state of play. Now, the sort of collective... Sorry, I should say this, not entirely, but... The larger narrative across the internet is about the state of play. Personally, was it for me? No. But was it a good state of play? Yes. I think the pacing was really good. It back-ended with an absolute surprise. Outside of mention of Yotai, there is no direct PlayStation first-party exclusive. But I think we're not going to be hearing something for a while. This was like the last handful of state of plays. This has been very Japanese and that style of experience. Like there's a lot of Japanese energy, which makes sense. Japanese company, but also with the understanding that very few Japanese developers or games that make very prominent Japanese experiences don't tend to go on Xbox being a Western company and they don't really support much over there. So it does make sense for it to be heavy in state of play. It did once again feel like a very very max state of play. Would you agree with that?
Yep, it's great. Fucking loved it. it literally won me over with just fucking...
Like, yeah.
I absolutely adored that game. Five more levels, sign me up.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously there's key little things that were really interesting, like obviously it's more Silent Hill, more Metal Gear, Astro Bot, the Marvel fighting game, Final Fantasy for you. Like, I understand the impact and the importance of Final Fantasy Tactics, but me personally, not a whole lot. But let's just keep moving on through because we do have a lot. Let's get into Summer Games Fest.
This is once again... Oh, actually, I think this might be close to being in order, to be honest with you.
It is in order.
Oh, fucking nailed it.
I think.
Mostly,
yes.
They kick things off with Mortal Shell 2. I got a gameplay trailer for the 2020, I believe it is, sequel. I think it came out in 2020. I wrote 202. I'm going to guess 2020. I'm pretty sure it's about 5 years old. I love Mortal Shell. Another Souls-like Soul game. Cool. Love it. A lot of Souls-like games here. A lot of Max
there
games.
There was a lot of Souls-like games here. It was very, very clear that that was a decision.
Thank you. It was very clear that that was a strong decision to sort of have more of those action-y Soulsborne experiences. I looked at this and I'm like, that looks like some sort of Soulsborne. And yeah, sure enough, it was fucking Mortal Shell. Cool. following on from that, once again, in the continuing trend of Fortnite almost getting me with some cool new season, coming up is Fortnite, the Death Star Sabotage.
It's not coming up. It started 3 days ago. It's fucking going.
Yeah, like it is Star Wars all over that bitch. Now, as someone who's just kind of re-falling in love with Star Wars after watching the series again with my partner for the first time, so Phoebe's getting to experience them. We now finally started our Star Wars TRPG on Thursday. I am more and more intrigued into that Star Wars world, but you're not getting me, Fortnite. I'm really sorry. You're not getting me.
Hey, just wait until they re-release the Kratos skins. They'll fucking get you.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Next up, we have Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
On the beach. Thanks.
I believe we've seen this clip before, right? With Neil and Lucy just chilling like villains in what appears to be like a therapy session.
Yeah.
Comes out this month, though, so who cares?
Yeah. I watched this, like, not by choice, because I was kind of watching the showcase. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Cool. It's one of those ones where it didn't tell me anything, but just more reminds me that this...
I know you didn't watch the, like, the big showcase for Thingo, so I watched a little bit of it, and they showed the same scene with Ali Fanning's character, but it's in English dialogue now.
Oh, sweet, cool.
That was, So that was cool.
Yeah, look, with this character of Neil, played by Luca Marinelli, he is absolutely snake-coated. So to have him, like, just, you know, try almost light a cigarette in there has my intention. Knowing that he is kind of what Mads' character of Cliff is here in Death Stranding 2, and we've seen those sort of sequences of him in that very snake gear, I feel like this is going to be what we saw in this clip. Like, I reckon this will be in the last 10% of the title, and it'll be an absolute spoiler once we have context for it. But as it stands, no spoiler.
If the game opens with that, Merge completely wrong.
Yeah. Well, we guess we'll find out when we play it again later this month. Next up was Chronicles Medieval. Is a trailer with a cinematic gameplay. Medieval Sandbox. Now I'm going to admit, I didn't watch all of this showcase, so I've got up to a point, and I will let you know when I get to said point. However, if this is the one I'm thinking of, this looked intriguing.
It's kind of cool. For a little while, I thought it was going to be like a chivalry expansion or something. I like those sandbox games. It could be fun. It looked all right.
Yeah, because even those, like, the games that I get a kick out of watching where it's like, you can make 100 fucking soldiers fight 10 archers and see what happens. Those kind of scale simulator games look really, really fun. because I was watching this, though, with my son, which was lovely, he was like, oh, I'd love to play this game. Oh, that game looks cool. Just because he has no idea what. It just looks visually impressive to him. But the one that got him up and out of his seat is what came next. That was Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. So we saw another gameplay trailer showing a lot more of the worlds, a lot more of the racetracks, and some of the characters. They did confirm some more Sonic World individuals, which I didn't know who they were, and even my kid, who's, you know, sadly he got the Sonic autism, he didn't know who they were, so it's a good sign. He's not entirely lost. We can bring him back.
Does he not know, like, Rouge the Bat, Big the Cat?
No. Unless it's in the movies, unless it was in the first one, don't care.
That fucking crocodile motherfucker, whatever his name
is. Yeah, that crocodile, the big fuck off dude.
He may be an alligator, I don't know.
Oh. I always thought he was the croc. He looks too eerily like the crocodiles out of Donkey Kong Country, but you know. I'm not a copyright lawyer. let's see. Yeah, Mute in the chat jumps in as well and goes, yeah, excited for Crossworlds. And his name's Victor, apparently.
Of course it is.
but they did also confirm a couple of other special characters are coming into the game. We've got Hatsune Miku, who looked really familiar, but I couldn't tell you what from. What's she from?
Her own thing.
Yeah, cool.
The rhythm games, I think.
Oh, yeah. The green-haired rhythm chick. But then we got Ichiban Kasuga from Yakuza. Sick. I really got a kick out of that. Then the one that I got a kick out of, and I'm sure you got a kick out of, was Joker from Persona 5.
Yeah, this is the Sega thing.
Yeah, it's all the Sega IPs coming together. But then, in a collaboration with Xbox, there will be tracks and races from Minecraft, which then got my kids super happy.
Yeah, I fucking saw Steve riding around in his minecart. I was like, ah, whatever.
Well, you know, Minecraft, minecart, it's this close. Just respelling, you got it. Look, we'll play the fuck out of this game, no question. My son and I adore playing Sonic Racing together. This just gives us a new game to play together. So,
did I miss Chrono Odyssey? Chrono Odyssey's not on my list, but that was definitely there too.
Mm.
Yeah, oh well. Next up, we had Code Vein 2, which was mostly a cinematic trailer. This is coming 2026. This is a, I assume, sequel to Bandai Namco's Code Vein.
You would hope so with a name like Code Vein 2.
Back in, I want to say, I have no fucking
idea. Ooh, I'm going to say it was pre-2020.
Oh, it was pre-2020.
18. How
pre-2020 was it? Nah, you suck. It was May 2019.
Damn it. I love doing little self-tests like that to, like, because this is funny. Like, Phoebe has very, she's like, dates aren't her thing, or like time windows aren't her thing.
Before time, it was before COVID. I don't fucking know when.
Yeah, because I love trying to guess where like songs came out or where movies came out and trying to like remember where I saw it. Or it's fun. It's tons of fun. But yeah, this is very much a Max game.
Yep.
Yep. Thumbs up for Max.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah. He knows.
Next up was End of Abyss. This is coming in 2026. It's from the team behind Little Nightmares, but yeah, it's a top-down shooter / survival game. It's looked awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, simple as that. It looks fucking sick. Because it certainly, if it's the one I'm thinking of, once again, having watched this yesterday and all that's gone down since yesterday, it felt like it had that very sort of creepy ass Little Nightmares feel to it, if it's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. It did look sick.
Next up, we had Mouse Pi for Hire.
Mouse Pi for Hire. So this is coming out of Playside Studios out of Melbourne. I actually know a couple people that work there, which is interesting. I did also apply to be their community manager when I was looking for work prior to starting my current job. It looks fantastic. Very similar energy to that of like Cuphead, but it is a very early days Mickey Mouse kind of feeling first-person shooter.
Steamboat Mickey.
Steamboat Mickey. It looks so fun. They announced that Troy Baker will be voicing the main character. His name is Jack Pepper. Looks sick. It's available on Keymailer already. I've already put my request in. It's not coming out for fucking Yonkers. But I was like, yes, please. Gimme. I'd love to play it. However, also coming out of Playside, which blew my mind, was this next game.
Yeah, and this game is more up my wheelhouse than...
Oh, no, dude, no, this is... A novelty RTS can get me. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds got me good.
I was a Battle for Middle-Earth.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Lord of the Rings RTS
yep.
got me hard. So they're like, hey, you wanna fucking Game of Thrones war for Westeros? Do you wanna play as the different houses as factions?
Fuck yes, I do. Do you wanna run alternate scenarios? Because I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, hey, that's fucking Jon Snow. And then he gets stabbed by that White Walker. I'm like, I wanna play this. Jaime Lannister was all up in there as well. Some dragon fell from the sky. RTS Game of Thrones, let's go. Yes, please. Gimme. this next title, I had coincidentally the exact same response that I had for the original trailer for the first.
I don't know if you read the chat, but Joel and I were conversing about Atomic Heart 1.
No, I now, skipped
it. Was this the game where the fridge was trying to fuck me?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So Atomic Heart 2 got shown. It's from Munfish. We played Atomic Heart at launch and we reviewed it. I actively refused to keep playing it. I played it for a couple of hours, and the difficulty with the game is the world, the concept of this post alternate history with like super tech, and the idea is that essentially like the Soviet Union kind of won the Cold War, and everything changed from then on. Stylistically, the world is really cool. It's really kind of steampunky and fun. It felt a whole lot like how, in Wolfenstein: The New Colossus, that, you know, like, hey, parts of America are now fucking super German. That aspect of it is interesting, but all the robots have, like, you know, big wide hips and huge honkers. And then throughout the game, I found it disgustingly misogynistic in some... Not quite the right term, I guess. But having, like, a fridge that's just trying to fuck you the entire time is some weird fantasy... male power fantasy that I want nothing... I don't have any part of it. Nothing to do with it. So I saw this, I'm like, this looks interesting. This looks a pretty cool world. It does look familiar, though. Atomic Heart 2. I'm like, fucking boo.
Oh, maybe they've changed their ways.
Maybe
the robots are less overly sexualized.
Nope, because they're in the trailer and they're just as sexualized as they were before.
They also showed off The Cube, which is apparently going to be a multiplayer game in the Atomic Heart universe on an ever-rotating cube that evolves play areas.
Yeah, it looked cool. One play. But the fucking concept was really cool. Because it was kind of shot in like a... You know, 9x16 is if someone was filming off a phone, and it's this scientist being like, this cube just fucking appeared. You know, like, did we never notice it? Did it just appear? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Fuck, next though, Marvel Cosmic Invasion. In very similar to the old SNES, like, we got Marvel Capcom getting some love over here. We're getting some old style side scroller beat 'em up energy here. Looks sick. She-Hulk was announced in it. Rocket Raccoon's in there too. Fucking looked awesome.
Yeah.
Now we are at the part where I had to scoot. I wasn't able to watch anymore, so I'm going to leave this with you, Max, and I'm going to jump in if there's anything that captures my interest or I'd like to get some more attention.
Cool. Next up, we saw Onimusha Way of the Sword coming 2026. Got a new trailer. I believe it's why Onimusha's been getting a push with the remakes lately. Mm-hmm. This new game's coming next year. Looks fine. Looks really cool. Again, one of those Japanese samurai games of Slay the Bad Things. All that stuff.
Cool.
Next up was...
Oh, wait, no, I did see some of these. Okay, my apologies. I did see some of these.
Next up is Felt That Boxing, which was Muppets meets Punch-Out.
So this looks like a FMV sort of experience. However, it's all with Muppets. It looks so dumb, and I want to play it.
Yep. Then we saw the Square Enix logo, and everyone preemptively blew their load thinking it was going to be Final Fantasy Killer in. This is essentially Werewolf the Game, social deduction. It's wolves versus lambs. So you play as two teams, the wolves and the lambs. The wolves know who the other wolves are. Lambs have to try and kill the wolves.
The noise gate kicked in and you cut out for a minute. Try the game.
It's just one of those. The wolves are one. They know. It's cutting out again, isn't it? They know who's on their team. The lambs don't know who's on their team, and the lambs have to try and work out who are their allies. And
cool.
Yeah, should be cool. I love those social deduction style games. Next up, we had Ark Raiders. The rumor was it was going to shadow drop that weekend. It's coming October 30th. It is an extraction shooter.
Yeah. which has been getting some love leading in. Like, I think there was that closed beta, open beta. Either way, there was a playtest semi recently, and the feedback is very, very good and very strong.
I played it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we saw Dune Awakening, which was weird because the game is technically already out. Or the big boy version. It does come out June 10th, which is tomorrow at time of recording. Big Dune sandbox survival game. Think Ark or Conan, but in Dune land.
Yeah, so...
I can't think of the planet name.
Arrakis.
Thank you.
Hey, I remembered that.
I had Arcades, but that's... What's his name?
It's Atreides, by the way.
Yeah, close enough, whatever.
Holy fuck, I'm 2 for 2! I have been successfully indoctrinated. Hey, Phoebe, you're proud of me.
Shyamalan, whatever his name.
Shyamalan my ding dong. But yeah, so I am very intrigued in this game, right?
I was until I saw the $80 price tag. I'm like, no thanks.
You know what? Suddenly I'm less interested. No, but like myself and Craig and my friend and our friend Paris, we have been trying to find a game together to play for a while. Like we kind of have moments, so hence why Star Wars: The Old Republic came into consideration. And then very quickly, I'm like, I'm sorry, this game plays like butts. I like the world, I like the experience, but it plays like crap because it is a very old MMORPG.
We're like Minecraft.
No, we want something fun. As both...
Oh, shots fired.
No, because Minecraft is the fun that you make it, right? And if you're not making the fun, then it's not a fun experience. Like, I enjoy playing Minecraft with my kid because it's the experience of playing with my kid. But the Dune, knowing that both Craig and Paris are old-school Dune fans, this would be interesting for them. It's a new experience for them. Being someone that's seen the two movies that are out, and I really enjoyed them... I kind of want to experience more of that world and more of that lore. And this seems like a really fun way to do it outside of reading the books, because fuck reading, nerds. But
audio book it, baby.
Eh, true.
Yeah, it's currently $74.95 on Steam.
Is that for the fuck off version or like the day one-er?
No, that's the pre-purchase of the day one-er.
Ouch.
If you want to play it right now, it's $105.
Oof.
And then if you really want to play it now, it's 130.
Wow, yeah, no, I'm fine. But the beauty of it is it's also on consoles as well, which has my attention.
Correct. I think it's the same price. Actually, probably more expensive because Steam generally is cheaper.
Yeah, commonly.
Yeah, cool. Next up, we had Out of Words.
Oh, that was the stop-motion...
The stop-motion co-op platformer, which looked adorable.
Mm. It gave me a lot of Unravel feels.
Yeah, that's coming out in 2026. We got another new look at August 8th.
Sorry, you cut out again. Try that again.
Mafia Old Country.
Yeah. New
trailer, August 8th.
I am genuinely keen for this because I do quite like the Mafia games. And the more I'm hearing about this, it is just additionally catching my attention. Because... Unlike Mafia 2 and 3, which were those more open world experience, or in 2's case, of open world experience, this is very similar to the first, as in it's like a linear story that's kind of mission to mission to mission, which having played the remakes and then the remaster, I'm like, no, this is by far the best way to experience this Mafia storytelling. It was the first one. I thought it was fantastic.
Next up, we had a Lego Voyages, two-player co-op game coming out of Annapurna Interactive, no release window.
Which one? Oh, Lego Voyages, is this the adorable little squares?
No, that was, that was something else, I think. I remember. It might have been. Actually, it might be. Probably is.
Yeah, so there was a really cool little co-op Lego game. Wait, yeah, you're these two little cubes with eyeballs on them. There's a blue one and an orange one.
Yeah.
My son, James caught attention to it immediately. He's like, oh, I want to play this and I'm going to be the blue one. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, you kind of play and build the world as you go and it looks fun.
Next up, we had Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny, which is just an adventure game featuring the Nickelodeon characters, SpongeBob, Patrick, all those fun characters. next up, we had Lies of P Overture. They showed off a gameplay trailer and went, hey, guess what? So that was cool.
Say it again, sorry?
Lies of P Overture had a trailer and then went, hey, it's out now. Go have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lies of P. So the thing that has my interest here is that this DLC has difficulty controls. And that like, there's something that they're adding in as part of this DLC. I'm like, fucking sweet. Super keen.
The game was good. I didn't find it overly difficult, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you're good at these games and I am not, so...
I mean, on the scale of, like, how you would rate them, I think it's definitely one of the easier, like, barrier of entry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that, too.
Next up, we had Fractured Blooms, which was a first-person horror adventure that's been described as Doki Doki Literature Club meets Silent Hill.
Okay.
Next up, we had Mina the Hollower. Got a new gameplay trailer. There is a demo available on Steam.
I'm starting to rely on you at this point, except this next one was Deadpool VR. This is an Oculus, a MetaQuest exclusive. Apparently NPH, or Neil Patrick Harris, is doing the voice of Deadpool. It is essentially just a sound-like attempt of Ryan Reynolds. Very similar to High on Life, which is apparently getting a sequel, which we'll talk about in the Xbox Showcase. This game looks immediately grating.
Next up, Dying Light. The Beast got a new gameplay trailer. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, because Dying Light's right up in your wheelhouse, so...
Dying Light is my favorite zombie video game series. I adore those games. Just being able to kind of, like, you know, pick up any weapon, craft it, use it. The story that they tell is kind of cool. Kyle Crane was the protagonist from the first game. He's coming back in The Beast, so it'll be interesting to see how those two titles tie together. Yeah, super keen.
Nice.
Next up was Mixtape. Got a new trailer. Shows the trio sneaking out of a house, skateboarding down the Leafblown Street. Was kind of interesting, I guess. Not really for me. Next up, we had Tower and the Guardians of the Sacred Tree, which is an action roguelike game coming out September 19th.
Which one was this?
This was the... I think it was the anime-looking one from memory.
Oh, yeah, gross.
Tower and the Guardians. It's coming out of Bandai, if that helps. So, super max. Yeah, it's the very anime...
Oh, man. So... Actually, hang on. Scrolling ahead, I pretty much got up until like before the last three games. That's a shame.
Yeah, sounds about right. Acts of Blood, action shooter coming 2026, summer 2026. I believe this was the one that was explained to be made by a single dev out of Asia. It was what I thought was a video game based on the Raid movie.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Scott Pilgrim EX, the new Ubisoft coming 2026. We spoke about it earlier over in PlayStation Showcase. Hitman World of Assassination, the new elusive target will be Mads Mikkelsen, reprising his role as Le Chiff from Casino Royale. It is only available. Bizarre. We had Lego Party, which is Mario Party but Lego? Question mark.
Yeah, look, that didn't really. Like, I like that Lego is kind of doing more. Lego Horizons, obviously, outside of, you know, whatever they do with, was it TT Games? Like, they're kind of expanding it. That's not a bad thing, but.
Sure. We got Wildgate, which is a PvPvE multiplayer game. Open beta will be starting this week. It's coming out in July. Next, we had Blighted from the Guacamelee peeps.
Yeah. Drinkbox.
Trailer. It was very dark from memory. horror-esque, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. It wasn't really my jam. I wasn't a huge fan of Guacamelee either. So
I loved Guacamelee. I had so much fun with it, one and two. I thought they were a blast.
Next up, we had Ill, which is a first-person survival horror game with Date. We had Mecha Break, getting a new trailer for the Mech multiplayer game, which is coming July 1st. Then we had Infinitesimals, which is a third-person shooter based on a war between two bugs, two warring bug nations. Next was the most bizarre trailer I've ever seen in Street Fighter 6.
Yes! Okay, let's have fun with this. So, what popped me immediately with this trailer is I'm like, yeah, cool, yeah, all right, cool. Next thing I see, fucking Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, I'm like, ah, it's going to be some bullshit fucking wrestling game.
Well, was my first, I'm like, this is the fucking, the world's best bout machine. I mean, this is the cleaner. This is, like, this is the dude. Fuck yeah, what are we going to get a new, like, are we getting a new AEW game? Because the first one was assholes. I'm down for a second. And then it very quickly, it shows him cosplaying as various characters. Street Fighter character. Like, there was the one that caught, that I knew, I don't know which one. One of them I was able to recognize as Street Fighter. And then knowing that he's a giant nerd, it loves his fighting games. Like, this is a match made in heaven. I was very, very happy to see it. I do makes me wonder where I think we when the very kind review code we were provided by the team whether we have a season pass or not, because I might go back. I do quite like Street Fighter.
I think so. I think we got the Ultimate Edition.
Oh, what legends. Next was a lot. I'm just gonna run. I'll run through these and you can help me out. Last Flag. It's a competitive multiplayer CT. Capture the Flag.
I have no memory of this one.
Me either. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers. New gameplay trailers coming July 24th.
Another samurai-esque Soulsborne style game.
Yeah, that's the energy that I got. Next up was, this is so not for me, but when I saw this trailer, I went, oh shit. And I immediately sent it to our friend Fid, because he's a big fan of the Wu-Tang. So Wu-Tang Rise of the Deceiver. It is a co-op action hack and slash. It immediately reminded me of that old Wu-Tang game. I think it was on fucking PlayStation back in the day. The little fighting game. Looked sick. Next up was Into the Unwell, a co-op roguelite up to three players. So I didn't see a roguelike, though.
I don't recall it either.
Stranger Than Heaven. This is RGG, which is... how do you pronounce it? Rio Gaigoju or whatever the fuck. Yeah. It's Project Century is a 1940 setting. So I think is this the new Yakuza one that's set in the old timey times?
Yeah, but I don't think it was a Yakuza, so it could be one of those spin off IPs of like Judgment.
Or the man who raised his name or whatever.
Yeah.
And then finally, the biggie.
It's set in 1940s Japan.
Yes. But the biggie. Resident Evil Requiem. It was a teaser trailer. It is Resident Evil 9. So the RE and the Q is the 9. So not quite as good as what was the RE Helix or whatever bullshit we made up last week. But it does introduce the heroine of Grace Ashcroft. Now, Grace Ashcroft is a name that, if you pay attention, is a name you would have seen in the likes of Resident Evil 7. She's mentioned in some of the files around the family. The big thing in this trailer, though, that has me really super, super intrigued, it does appear that, I wouldn't say for the first time, because I can't confirm, but at least in my first experience, we are returning to the post-fucking-blown-out Raccoon City. Looks sick, and in continued Resident Evil fashion outside of Village, it is coming in the early half of the early months of next year. It is February 27th. What a fucking way to end a showcase. Super keen.
This was out after they dick teased us by saying, we're celebrating the anniversary. Blink and you'll miss the announcement. Well, the announcement will be out in just a blink or something like that. And then like three announcements later it was...
Yeah, so I actually watched this separately because I said I didn't watch the rest of the showcase. But, fuck yeah. Give me more Resi. Give me more Resi. Now, that does bring us to the end of that showcase. Max, how did you feel about Summer Games Fest. Like, normally, normally not watching them, I actually quite enjoyed watching it, and I didn't hate it as much as I would normally do.
It was Max's Game Fest.
Yeah. You had a very good weekend, actually.
I'm going to be eating well for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, I'm a similar boat. I enjoyed it. It was fine. But yeah, not a whole lot to jump out at me, but the couple of things that did really grab my attention. Now, we'll quickly just skim over it. There was the Xbox showcase as well.
I've got the announcements open. Do you want me to just...
Yeah, just rip through it, and we'll jump on any of it.
So, we got Outer Worlds 2.
That looks cool. I loved Outer Worlds 1. Once again, every time I play it, I get to kind of like the second or third world, and then I get distracted and sort of wander off.
Are we all in agreement that Obsidian Games are currently carrying Xbox?
Absolutely, in the same way that Insomniac carries PlayStation.
We got Call of Duty Black Ops 7.
That trailer is the most misleading piece of shit I've ever seen. It looks to set up some really cool... Dude, it's got the guy from Gilmore Girls, the one that Rory should have ended up with. His character's name was Jesse. That was really cool.
The guy from Heroes.
Yeah. Oh, he also a guy from Heroes. Yeah, so that part was really cool. I liked where it was going. And then the second I went, hang on, the font at the start, pretty sure that's Call of Duty. Call of Duty. So everything that I felt they showed in that trailer, I feel confident in saying it's not going to be anything like that because fucking Call of Duty. And even the beauty, Max, you'll get a kick out of this. Even Phoebe, who I didn't say fucking shit, right? I kept it quiet. Phoebe watched and went, that was really cool until they said it was Call of Duty. I'm like, yeah, you get it. You get it. But that's unless DMZ's in there, which we didn't get highlighted, so we don't know.
Ninja Gaiden 4.
No.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Yes, please. Looks sick. Demo, they announced BAM's in it.
The officially. Foundry demo is out now if you fucking pre-ordered the game.
I couldn't do that.
Grounded 2.
I wish I played Grounded 1. I really, really wanted to.
It's still available. You can still play it.
Yeah,
it
but still time, effort, you know, I mean, you know me.
This could be the game that you, Paris, and... Honey, I Shrunk, thank you, Craig was the name I was looking for. Yeah.
It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Again, essentially.
Gears of War Reloaded.
Yeah, it's coming to PlayStation, sweet. I'll play it on PlayStation.
Indiana Jones and the Great Circle with the Order of the Giants.
Yeah, if only I played it first.
Clockwork Revolution.
Looked cool. It gave me a lot of We Happy Few mixed with a little bit of Arcane's Dishonored sort of feel.
High on Life 2?
Yeah, I'd rather punch myself in the dick.
Dawn of the Bloodwalker, I think it was called.
I skipped that, looked shit.
The Blood of the Dawnwalker?
It looked boring.
I think that was a Max game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because I was kind of skipping through and whatever caught my attention I watched, and I was like, nah, it didn't look interesting at all.
Oh, yeah, vampire-themed game. Oh, Bandai Namco again. Jeez. Bandai really make games for Max. Next up is Keeper. What the fuck was Keeper?
I watched the damn thing, I couldn't tell you.
Official gameplay trail. No, just tell me what you are. Keeper is a third-person adventure filled with exploration, puzzle-solving, and unexpected departures from reality. That's from Double Fine. From the Psychonauts 2 people.
Oh, okay, yep, cool.
Yep, cool. Next we have the Ryan game, Resident Tale Legacy. Before the rats were there.
Oh, yeah, so that... I was watching them, like, this... Like, there's a particular shot in that trailer that was really fucking cool, because they seem to be following this gold, like, almost like Wonder Woman's golden lasso, right? Lasso of Truth. It's just this... It's this rope that's kind of following through the world, and then it does this big wide shot of this giant minotaur, and it's wrapped in that thread. It looked sick. And then the second that it was said, it like, Requiem. I'm like, what's Requiem? Not Requiem. What was it called?
Yeah, A Plague Tale.
Yeah, no, what was... No, yeah, Plague Tale Requiem was the old one. What's this new one called?
Resonance.
I was like, Resonance? That's an interesting name. And then it goes, you know, A Plague Tale Legacy. I was like, ah, boo.
Next up, we had Fates End coming out of Thunder Lotus Games, which did Spiritfarer. This is a like an game where you fight your family with swords. It's a sword fighting game.
Cool.
Then we have Age of Mythology Retold, Heavenly Spear expansion. Persona 4 Revival.
Which one?
Big win. Persona 4 Revival.
Oh, yeah, dude, that got me too. Like,
I'm so keen.
I then had to explain to Phoebe what Persona 4 was. I'm like, okay, it's this old fucking Vita game. It's really fun. And then I do think that a game that Phoebe and I should play soon would be Persona 5. I think it, because it's turn-based, she can play it and really sort of like not be too overwhelmed by the concept. As I said, we're playing Death Stranding right now. Like I have to play it, which I'm happy to because the game's sick. But I feel like a good turn-based experience would be fun. And she's never dipped her toes into a JRPG either, so this could be a good place.
Invincible versus.
Never read the comics, never saw the show, but the show's super punchy and violent, so I'm sure it'll be a great fighting game.
We got Final Fantasy 16 Complete Edition launching today. It's out.
Yeah, sweet. Play it.
Final Fantasy 7 Remake Integrate is finally going to the...
Yeah, that has been interestingly amount of a long time.
Yeah. Sea of Thieves is getting a new thingamabob.
Yep.
There was a Felion, which I don't recall what that was.
Nope.
Solo leveling Arise over just a fucking mobile game to consoles.
Mm-hmm.
There's Planet of Lana 2, Children of the Leaf, and I don't recall
that one. I probably skipped it.
There was Super Meat Boy 3D.
That looked sick. It was like a green tube. I'm like, that's fucking Mario. That makes no sense. And then a little like cube butt came out of it. And I am not proficient in any way at Super Meat Boy, but I do love the games. And a 3D Super Meat Boy looked bonkers, and I'd like to play it.
There are no ghosts at the Grand.
That looked fucking cool. That genuinely looked cool. It didn't have PlayStation on the logo on the splash screen like all the others, which made me sad. But and I even said to Phoebe, I'm like, yeah, it's coming to PlayStation. Most games do.
There's Anemo? Yeah. Chronos, The New Dawn. I don't remember that one.
No.
There's a... I can't fucking read this. There's Mudang?
Oh, Mudang. No idea.
Which... and the last one coming from...
Whoa. Calm your fucking shit. There are two things that you skipped that may not be on the list. One of them is The Elder Scrolls Online. They showed... They talked about coming in October is the first world-shattering event. These do kind of happen from time to time in MMOs, whether it be...
That's on the list.
Yeah. Whether it be sort of like... what was that? Like in World of Warcraft, it was the...
Cataclysm,
thank you. Like that big thing that kind of fucked up it, like really reshaped a whole lot of things. This looks to be that. It comes in October, so I'm going to just kind of spend some time with Elder Scrolls between now and then, because I'm super keen to see that. On top of that was also Fallout 76 with their latest expansion that dropped this. It's already out. It's called Gone Fission. They've essentially brought in fishing as a mechanic into Fallout 76. It looked really fun and cool. Like you can modify your rod, your reel, your the line, the baits, the lures. Like it looks really unnecessarily intricate. And knowing that every piece of water in Fallout or in Appalachia is just unreasonably toxic, I want to see what cool fish I can catch.
You ready?
Yes.
Game Freak's Beast of Reincarnation.
Yeah, so you're currently playing a Game Freak game in Pokemon Scarlet.
Yeah.
Violet, sorry, whatever. So they're fucking the same, who cares?
No, I disagree. Apples and oranges, mate.
Doubt it.
Completely different colors on the spectrum.
Look, I'm on the spectrum and I'm not playing Pokemon, all right? What intriguing from this, like it's this really interesting, like it's Japanese, obviously, but it is a full-blown 3D, high-fidelity, action-ass-looking game from Game Freak. Now, Max, I skipped it pretty quickly because I looked at the trailer and it's not for me, even though it's Game Freak. Fill me in.
It looks so good and it's coming to PS5.
Oh, what?
what? Stunning.
Suddenly I'm interested.
As one of our friends in the group chat, Joel, from any game said, Pokemon the Game Freak can no longer get a pass for how shit their games look.
They absolutely do not. Now, Game Freak have made other titles outside of Pokemon in the past, but not for, like, their main bread and butter for the longest time has been Pokemon. It does make me wonder, though, like, have, because they've been working on this title, is that why Pokemon's been shit for a while? From a resource, like a resource deployment?
So apparently this is coming out in 2026. It will be a day one game pass. But it is coming to everything.
Mm.
Except for Switch, funnily enough.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's nasty. But yeah, that is essentially everything that was shown over this weekend as part of E3, but not E3. It has certainly been a max experience weekend, hasn't it?
Key three.
Yeah, so very clearly a more max supported weekend. I imagine you've quite enjoyed everything that's come out of it so far.
It was great. I cannot complain. I found at least like half of PlayStation State of Play was great for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say like three quarters of the Summer Games Fest were like max games.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of these games are all Bandai Namco, which is just love that.
So, in other words, hi Con.
the Xbox Showcase had some bangers, and because they're at the Xbox Showcase, they're all coming to PlayStation.
Yes.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
Oh, and Xbox are getting new hardware. They're partnered with ROG. They're doing a ROG Xbox thing.
Sweet.
Yeah. Totally forgot that.
Yeah, I skipped it too. Look, I'm with you. I did really enjoy what I saw. Were there games for me? No. Like, there were a very small handful of titles that piqued my interest, but knowing full well that I do have a very closed subset of games that catch my attention, and a lot of them do happen to be PlayStation exclusives because I do quite like what they deliver. Having there been no, simulator style game outside of There's No Ghost in the Grand, which looked to be this great mix of House Flipper with Power Wash Simulator in a very similar, almost Blueprints-esque mystery to be solved. There wasn't a lot to really sing to me, but if you look at it objectively, as this is by far probably one of the most enjoyable key threes that have been around for quite a number of years. If anyone is bitching and whinging about any of these showcases, I do genuinely want to question your love of games, and then follow it up with, do you even play games? Because if nothing over this weekend got you excited and every showcase was shit, then you are in the wrong industry. You are in the wrong field. You need to fuck off and go do something else. Because there is no reason that you should not find an experience this weekend that you want to play in the near future.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But man, as we are going very long today, we are talking, speaking of the near future, these are the games that are coming out this week. And they are Alien Hominid HD on the 10th of June on PS5, PS4, alongside Alien Hominid Invasion, PS5, PS4, Mind's Eye, which is coming out on the 10th, which I'm going to have to chase that up because I wouldn't mind fucking with that. Star Trucker, PS5, on the 11th of June, Keeper's Toll, PS5, PS4. On 12th of June, Memory Lost, PS5, PS4. Wizard of Legend 2, PS5. A Zombie Army VR, PS5. And on the 13th of June, we get The Altars.
Man. Mind's Eye's the big one this week, right?
But it looks, it's from some of the ex-Rockstar folk. But it's also the same guy who said that people are shitting on the game online because they're being paid to do so. Which is not a good sign for someone just to present themselves that way online. Like, bold strategy, Cotton. Prepare to fuck yourself over. But, cool. And so this has been a very extended episode of the show. Max, you have to get to work shortly. let's get out of here.
Ready. This PlayStation Conversations happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. Tubes. If you like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, whatever, that sort of stuff. And most support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Much appreciated. That's it. I got a new mixing board to buy, so I don't have to use this thing. It appears it sounds okay, I hope, but hopefully next week, or if not the week after, I'll have that. This episode, very much like repeating, many of you would have experienced watching along, so it may not be the most engaging episode to listen to, but we appreciate it nonetheless. We'd feel disingenuous if we didn't cover discuss the things that were brought up over the weekend. Normally we might divide these over a couple different shows, but we didn't want to, so but until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
Max Cooper,
and that was For the Players.